We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire.
With the 7th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
Touchdown, yes! Detroit Lions! TJ Hawkins, yes! They did it! They tied it! They're an extra point away from winning this game! Oh, baby, how big is
this? Yo, what's going on, guys? Welcome back to our live Spotify Green Room session on Friday night. I am your host, Tyler. This Spotify Green Room is sponsored by the Blue Wire Network. I got my two hosts as usual. Pierre, Malcolm, how are you boys doing tonight?
Bro, I am doing great. The Pistons got a franchise-changing player. I know this is like a Lions podcast, but this is huge for the city of Detroit.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Malcolm is an outsider, you know, not being a Pistons fan, you know, not being any fan of any other Detroit team besides the Lions, you know, like, You kind of see it. Isn't this pretty cool to see like the number one pick kind of come back to Detroit and just kind of see what the energy is bringing to the city?
He's a Knicks fan.
Before you start, I just want to say, finally, Mr. Hart has come back to Spotify Green Room.
Why do you say that every week? You're on your
every week. Just thing now.
Woo, man, I'm back. I'm here, man. Yo, I'm excited. I'm sorry for you guys too, man. You guys had a hell of a draft. Shout out to the Pistons, man. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, I'm like your sorry ass Knicks.
That's funny because we're a fourth seed team last year. I mean, shoot, you guys. I mean, I'm not gonna talk with you guys. You know, the thing is, I don't see nothing about anybody's team, but everybody loves taking shots at my Knicks.
The Knicks are very like. You know,
they love doing it. I don't see nothing about nobody's team, especially team that haven't, you know, you guys haven't went to the playoffs. I mean, you guys had a good draft, but come on, man. Don't take a shot at my Knicks.
It's the Knicks, man. It's just they're a meme at this point.
Oh, yeah. We're a four seed.
They've been a meme.
we're a four seed. I mean, we're a playoff team. We're here. Yeah. You guys got to get there. Before you can talk, you got to get there.
Well, we were just there. I mean, we didn't do anything. We were there.
You were there, but you guys are not there. And you got to get there before you can talk.
But are you guys really there?
Yeah, we're a fourth seed.
Like, okay. All right, whatever.
I'm just saying. Were we not the fourth seed in the NBA in the Eastern Conference last year?
Yeah, but, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, were you really there? Like, were you a real contender? I don't think so.
I mean, no. We're lacking a superstar. But the thing is, point blank period, we're a playoff team.
All right.
Where are you guys?
That's cool, bro.
You're mediocre. How about that?
You guys, hey, we're a playoff team. You guys got to get there before you can talk. You got to not there.
Pretty soon.
You got to have a bright future. Bright future.
Pretty soon, you're going to have to get through the Pistons in the East.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
We'll see.
Hey, man, I'll just say this. The Pistons over the Knicks in the future-wise.
Yeah. Knicks not making the playoffs in next year? Okay, we'll see.
No, I didn't say that.
That's what Lee said. And Lee, I am willing to take friendly bets. I'm willing to take money. If you think the Knicks is not a top 8 team in the East and we're not making the playoffs, please let me know. I mean,
the East has gotten better. The East has definitely gotten better.
East could get better. hey, the Knicks is going to get better. It is what it is, man, because we have and a lot of people don't know, we have a lot of young pieces. RJ Barrett and those guys, you know, RJ Barrett averaged 17 points last year. He's expected to take another leap. You know, Randall, another guy expected to take another leap. And these guys, you know, they didn't show up in the playoffs. I get it. Everybody saw the live games. Everybody saw the games that they didn't show up in. And I get it.
Bro, we're going to lose our listeners, bro. No one's coming to York.
I get it. I'm just saying. Okay, but it is what it is.
Oh, someone just said Patricia Stipido. Okay.
Let's get into
Now that we're actually in like pretty much full gear in football season now, you know, now that training camps officially started, if this was the middle of June, I would love to continue this basketball talk. But now that we actually have some football to talk about, we have to get into football right now. But
let's go.
Overall, really quickly, a very nice day for the Detroit Pistons and just a nice day for Detroit sports fans, you know, getting the number one pick in Cade Cunningham. And, you know, obviously the fan base is super excited, and not just the Pistons fan base, but just Detroit fan base in general. So very excited. Can't wait to watch this fall and winter time. That's going to be super exciting, and just the whole Pistons team in general. But, all right, now we're into football. Lions season is coming up. Preseason's here. Training camp. All right. We got observations. These are the best times of year. Camp battles. You look through all the Lions beat guys: Chris Berg, Dave Brickett, Eric Schill. Who else? Tim Twitterman. Yeah. Yep. I'm missing some guys.
Kyle Menke,
Justin Rogers. All these guys. Yeah. Phenomenal at their job. And this is like one of my favorite times of year. When I'm not there in Allen Park, I love to keep up with these guys' tweets and just see all the camp battles, see all these reps that's happening. It's amazing. One of my favorite times of the year. Now that we're, you know, around that time of year, let's get into it, man.
Todd, before we start, I want to give a shout out to David Blau's wife, Melissa Blau. She's actually in the Olympics. Blau. So shout out to her.
Blau. Yeah, she is in the Olympics. I saw
Melissa Campbell Blau. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. They made a lot of Campbell videos Blau. For her, you know, congratulating her. So best of luck to her for sure. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Did she already run?
No idea, honestly.
Yeah, she did run. She got second place, so she's going to the semis. It's actually Melissa Campbell.
Oh, for real?
Blau. I'm sorry. Yeah.
She got second place?
She's fast.
Honestly,
so she's
been,
going to the
there's been
she's
so
running,
many
she's a track star.
There's been so many things happening in sports right now with the NFL training camp, MLB trade deadline, NBA draft. I haven't been able to keep up with the Olympics, honestly. So good for her. Good for her. Best of luck, the rest of the way through. All right. I want to get into NFL training camp now because there's a lot of interesting battles, a lot of new faces in Detroit. Obviously, a new regime in Detroit, so it's a whole new system. I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, man. A lot of former Lions, current Lions – Taking some minor jabs, some major jabs at Patricia's former regime.
Yep.
Yeah, at her former regime, man. I mean, you got guys like Jared Davis saying he contemplated retirement. Mm. Darius Slay, someone asked him today, are you excited to face the Lions this year? He said, no, not as excited because Patricia's not there. Mm. Who else? Tracy Walker, Trey Flowers take a jab. Mm. I mean, there's jabs left and right. And
Swift.
They're everywhere. Goes on. Kawandre, just on the competition. Yep. Kawandre Diggs as well. I mean,
shit. Look, I didn't give me a mic. I would talk shit too.
it's been seeming refreshing though, because you know everyone seems happy just to kind of get over this hump of you know getting a new regime. So that's good. You know, it seems like it's been a successful week for the Lions in training camp as far. I mean, obviously, it's training camp, and you know there's going to be a lot of highs because, you know, you're first in your own teammate. So it's going to be a lot of optimistic right now, you know, time right now. Every team looks good right now on paper. And, you know, it's fun right now. It's a lot of fun. It's what Peter calls the honeymoon stage right now. And we're definitely going through that right now.
We're in the honeymoon phase right now, yep.
Yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, they said in the comments, Eli Bakhti, he said Dan Campbell is doing the up and downs with his players. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty dope. Patricia couldn't do that. So,
Wait.
Pierre, why? Why couldn't he do it?
No, okay, no, we're not getting to logistics.
I'm
not getting to logistics.
I'm just saying he couldn't do it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
Oh, man. Before you start, did you hear that people are talking shit about that? Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, Dan Campbell doing burpees?
Yeah.
What is there to talk about?
A lot of people are talking negative about it, like, oh, look at Dan Campbell doing up downs. And look at the players' faces. Like, are you kidding me?
No, bro, that's like, dope. If your coach does that shit.
Of course. I thought that was awesome. And the thing is, people are like, oh, the Purge didn't look into it. Bro, they do 40 up downs before every practice. That video caught up down number 37. What the fuck? What do you expect their faces? Like, do you expect them to be smiling?
Yeah, bro.
After 40 up downs, like, do you expect them to be happy and smiling and doing high fives? Like, of course they look tired.
Yeah, Michael Bracker said, like, they saw the coach and they thought it was pretty cool because, like, he's doing it with them and stuff.
I think people forget these guys are human sometimes and that, like, when you're working out, you're not going to be – like, you smile when you work out, like, just as a normal human. When you go to the gym, when you're on the treadmill, are you smiling? No, you're not smiling when you're on the treadmill.
Story time. And this is bringing back when I used to play football, bro. I smiled one time at practice. You know what my coach made me do? He made my ass run. He said, why are you smiling? He said, 38, why are you smiling? Run. I was like, what the fuck?
Okay, hold up. You weren't just smiling. There has to be a reason why you were smiling.
No, because when I look tired, and like when I'm breathing, like I look like I'm smiling.
So I was like, coach, I'm not smiling.
No, I wasn't smiling, but he thought I was smiling. So he just made my ass run.
You weren't messing around with another teammate?
What happened?
I said, you weren't just messing around with another teammate?
No, I wasn't messing around with another teammate. I was tired. I was dead ass tired and I was breathing. So he looked at me and thought I was smiling, and then he made my ass run.
So the Lions claimed Bruce Hector off of waivers, and then the other day he was like, he had to do ups and downs because he was like the first player.
Yeah.
Like they claimed him, and the defense joined him. I thought that was pretty cool as well.
Like the rest of the defense, you're saying?
Yeah, they joined him. Yeah, defensive players joined him. Like they didn't let him do him on his own. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, if one man's going to do it, the whole team's going to do it. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to get into training camp now. Well, we've already been talking about training camp, but I want to like single out a specific player from all of us. We'll all say one player. You know, obviously we're not there, so we're not watching live, but who's a guy that you've been reading on and you're like, damn, like, okay, I'm excited to see him in the preseason. I'm excited to see him, you know, with our eyes in training camp.
Can I go first?
Go ahead. Yeah, I want you to go first.
Before Pierre steal it, I'm going to say it.
I want Melvin to say it.
I mean, this is good. You guys were waiting for this moment. you guys were waiting for this moment. I'm going to talk about Jeff Okuda. Y'all boy, Jeff Okuda. I'm going to say it. I mean, so far, so good. They say he looked great. You know, he's come in. He looked very confident. He has some nice PBUs. And he's taking a nice leadership role. And he's mentoring the young guys. So that's a very good sign for Jeff Okuda. So he's a guy who I definitely am circling every single game that I want to see. I want to see, you know, how much of a step is he going to take from last year to this year. And I'm just interested to see. I mean, right now, I mean, you could kind of say, oh, well, he's not playing against nobody. Our corners, our receivers aren't that good. You could say that, but he's doing a great job with the competitions that are in front of him. So I just can't wait to see him, you know, when we play against other teams and we're playing against, you know, better competition wise and see how much he's grown, you know.
Another thing is like he's taking a rookie under his wing. I believe Jerry Jacobs is his name, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Jerry Jacobs.
He's basically like when he makes a mistake, he's telling him what he did wrong, he's giving him advice and stuff. So that's pretty cool. He's already being a leader in his second year. That's huge actually.
Yeah. I wish Iggy was more of a like was that guy, you know, that he was leaning on the Okuda. But I haven't heard much about Iggy at all.
Iffy.
Yeah. All right, I'll give you guys another guy who's impressed. He's also in the secondary.
Okay.
And this is a guy who I've been a fan of. It's Mike Ford. He's hell no. I got to see you to believe it. Yeah. Obviously.
What's wrong with Willie?
He's battling with Corn Elder. Tracy Walker even said he looks more comfortable inside than he plays outside. And Mike Ford is also, like, there's clips of him dancing in practice. He looks loose. He's having fun. And, you know, that's my guy. I've always been a fan of Mike Ford, so I hope he wins that job, the nickel job.
I told you about them single digits.
He's wearing number two now.
I told you about them single digits.
I think Mike Ford is turning into a hell of a story, honestly, because I don't know if you guys remember, like, his story. Like, he came in 2018 – as an undrafted free agent. I mean, he wasn't really much of anything, honestly. Like, I remember just watching him. I'm like, okay, he was working with the third team. Like, I didn't really, like, know of him that much, honestly. And I actually have a story of Mike Ford. So I was at training camp in Elm Park, and I was getting autographs after, you know, practice, and some guys came through. And Mike Ford comes through, and I didn't know who Mike Ford was like that. Like, you know, I'm like, you know, okay, UDFA, cool, you know, nice to meet you, whatever. But he gave me his football glove, so I still have that from this day. And just kind of see the career he's, you know, transformed. I'm not saying he's a superstar or anything, but, like, just to kind of still be in this organization with a new regime still in town, I think his chance of making the roster is, it's decent. Like, I wouldn't say it's a for sure lock, but I think he's got a good shot at making this team.
I think right now he's a lock, if I had to guess.
Yeah, I don't know about a lock, but, like, I like his chances of making this team, definitely. I don't think there's really many locks on this team right now. That's why I go there. But, like, I think it's just cool to kind of see the story that Mike Form has transformed, you know, since 2018, you know, and he's still here until 2021.
Tyler, who's your guy?
He's been good so far. Yeah. He's been good so far. I mean, I think you have to have, like, a really shitty preseason to, like,
I mean, he's been good for this team, like, in general. Like, I'm not trying to go, like, way back and, like, just get, like, everything, but, like, whenever they needed him to step up and, like, you know, start a game for an injury or anything, like, he's been reliable, and, like, he's been a very solid backup for this team. And he's, like, one of those guys that just is really important to NFL teams. And there was times in, like, 2019, I went to camp, like, when we knew a little bit more of Mike Ford, I'm like, I just don't know if this guy has anymore. But, you know, he's gotten better, man. And it's been a cool story, right, to kind of keep up with, you know?
Yeah.
If you love listening to us here on the Pride Podcast, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no better place to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you just want to host a podcast and you don't know where to start, Hustle is a perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover arts, Q&A's with Blue Wire's top podcasters, and access to our community discords, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. On top of all that, we'll get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all listening platforms. And the best part is, you get all of this for only $15 a month. That's the same rate as any hosting website would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about your favorite team, then make your voice heard and hustle. Acceptance to this program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check the description box in this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see what Mike Ford can do this year, man.
Who do you have, Tyler?
So, you know, I got a sleeper this year that not many Lions fans probably know about, and this was a guy that they signed back in January. So this was as the NFL playoffs were still going, you know, obviously they have the futures deal. And, you know, usually Yeah, and people usually don't go into futures deals and like look too deeply into them. They're like, okay. We actually had one a couple of years ago that we like, you know, had an eye out for in training camp was Mark Thompson. You remember the running back?
We had him on.
He was our first guest.
Yeah.
First guest. Yep, I remember that.
Yeah.
So, wait, the guy you talk about, is he a linebacker?
Yes, he is.
He's a linebacker. I know what you're talking about.
So his name is Sean Dion Hamilton from the Washington football team. And he, like I said, he was one of the futures guys deal. So not really highly thought of, just a guy that maybe comes in, competes, not a very big linebacker depth in Detroit. So maybe he has a shot at cracking the roster, but obviously he's going to have to prove it because it was a futures deal and just wasn't really, really highly thought of as a player. But, you know, just reading off reports from all the beat guys, especially Chris Burke, he's been hyping up Sean Dion Hamilton. He goes, I'm going to read quote for quote what he said. Sean Dion Hamilton is a guy I'll be watching closely when the pads go on because he's been solid without them, getting them with the second linebacker group and playing quick downhill. Also, turning ran well in coverage once or twice today. So, I mean, I think so far he's showing to be a versatile linebacker to kind of do it all and working with the second team. Maybe as camp goes on, maybe as, you know, preseason comes into play, maybe he's one of those guys that can maybe switch into the first team linebacker room because this linebacker room is not very good. We've mentioned it. It's a big concern off season. If one of these guys that, you know, maybe we're expected to start like an Anzalone or a Jelani Tavai, or I wouldn't go as far as Jamie Collins, but you know, if there's one of those guys that are starting right now and they're not performing, maybe we see a guy like Sean Dion Hamilton get more reps with the first team, and then maybe he can impress enough to maybe even make the team. So I think it's kind of a cool story to follow along. He seems like he's been impressing all through camp, and obviously that would be huge for this Lions team because they need a linebacker. He's stepping in right now because we'd even mentioned this. Jalen Reeves-Maven is on the COVID list right now, so he's not at practice right now. So he's definitely taking advantage of the opportunity that he's getting right now, and I love when players do that, especially a guy that had a long shot to make the team. This would be a cool story for the Lions. This would be a very good addition for the Lions if they can get a nice, stable linebacker who could kind of do it all. You know, if he's a smart linebacker who could play coverage, you know, could read gaps, that'd be very big for the Lions right now. So Sean Dion Hamilton's a guy I would keep tabs on because he wasn't a guy that maybe we're talking about a couple weeks ago or even a couple months ago saying this guy is going to make the 53-man roster. So I like that Sean Dion Hamilton is, you know, taking advantage of the opportunity, obviously before pads is coming on right now.
Yeah, especially with the Reeves-Maven now, he's taking like advantage of his opportunities. So,
Tyler, you mentioned three guys could possibly be starters. Can you name those three guys again?
I mean, the starters, I would say going into week one, are probably Collins.
You said one name that scared the shit out of me.
Anzalone. And I mean, it's going to be between Reeves-Maven, I think, and Tavai.
Oh, shit. Tavai? Starter?
Yo,
oh,
but my when God. You look at the Lions, though, they're not really going to have three linebackers like that much.
Yeah. So
no, but you're saying like up in the air, like guys who could like potentially win it. And he said,
I'm talking like off-ball linebackers, not on-ball. Yeah, off-ball linebackers, yeah.
Jahan Tavai?
I think any of these guys, I think even after Jamie Collins, like I think Jamie Collins will be a starter, but after that, I think it's up for grabs who could be the second linebacker on the field consistently. Like, it could be any of these guys. It could be Reeves-Maven, potentially. It could be Tavai. But, like, I don't know.
Tavai?
I wouldn't bet my money on it, but
I wouldn't buy stocks. I'm telling you this. If Tavai becomes a starter and actually plays well, we got to hear it. We know we're going to hear it.
Oh, if he plays well, that's completely fine.
Oh, like, man.
Fine.
I'll be happy. I'll be happy. But
I mean, why wouldn't
Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't be happy?
Yeah. I'm just not – I'm not hopeful.
I just don't see it. Anyways.
I'm not hopeful.
Speaking of
he lost weight, and he looked good. They said he moves well, I guess.
Okay.
He moves up and down, I guess, well, and side to side.
Yo. speaking of linebackers, though, they're bringing along Derek Barnes slowly, another rookie they're bringing along slowly, Levi Onwuzurike, Ifeatu Melifonwu. They're bringing those guys along slowly. But one guy who has been starting with the first unit is Aleem McNeil. What are your thoughts on that?
That's exciting because they really need a guy up the middle to be a legitimate run stopper up there. And I think that's what Aleem McNeil is. I think right now he's probably competing with Pennicini. And as far as like this system that they run, I feel like an Aleem McNeil is more more valuable to this team because he's more athletic, where he can disturb gaps in the running game and in the passing game, where he can take on maybe two blocks. So if Aleem McNeil could win this job going into week one, I think that would be a bigger win for this Lions defense than John Pennicini winning this job. So I'm rooting for Aleem McNeil to win this job for sure.
Yeah, I think they're both going to be. I think they're both going to be good. Him and Levi. I think they're both going to be good.
They're perfect fits for each other.
I can't wait to see it because
they complement each other well.
Yeah, I just can't wait to see it because, like, even guys who we had in the past, like Sean Hand, I wonder if he stays healthy and he plays with this new scheme and his new coaching staff. I wonder if he could get going.
It's possible.
There's a lot of guys who I want to see on this D line. There's a lot of guys who I want to see in this D line because I think they're better than what we've seen with Trisha and that staff. I think it's got a lot better. Even they're saying Trey Flowers is looking nice. He's looking better. He has a new role now. They're saying Trey Flowers is looking nice. I can't wait to see what Trey Flowers brings to the team next year.
Yeah. I just think with the Lee McNeil, though, I mean, we mentioned it in the draft with Levi Onwuzurike. Like, they're just a perfect complement for each other. Like, Onwuzurike is that defensive tackle that's going to, you know, he's a typical three tech that's going to get pressure on the quarterback. And then McNeil is one of those disturbers, like they call him, that's just going to eat up all those blocks. And he's going to free up for his linebackers who want to shoot up the middle, if that's going to be Derek Barnes potentially or Jamie Collins. And he's just going to help out the whole defensive line in general. I'm not going to say in as far as he's going to be this type of player, but kind of like what Snacks did for this team in 2018. I'm not saying he's going to have the same impact, but that's what Snacks did, you know, just disturb and eat the blocks and help all his other defensive linemen and all the front seven in general just get to the quarterback. And I think Aleem McNeil has a potential to do that at a high level. So that's exciting.
I think it'll be a little bit different. I think it'll be a little bit different because I think the scheme is different. So what they require from Snacks is just to, you know, block up the A-gap. And I think they're going to ask something different from McNeil.
Yeah.
Well, McNeil's more athletic to get to the quarterback rather than Snacks.
They're going to tell him to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
They're going to tell him to get to the quarterback.
Like Snacks was a one-trick pony.
Yeah, McNeil could play, like, if he could play, like, defensive end on a play or two. If they, like, he's athletic enough to play that. Snacks is more just like a nose tackle.
Yeah, no, Snacks is a
two-down player versus McNeil is a three-down player.
For sure. I agree 100%. I think Levi's a three-down player as well.
Yeah, I believe Pennicini's also a two-down player as well.
Yeah, it's just Pennicini is like a knockoff Snacks, which is not a disrespect to him. It's just that's what he is.
He's a run stuffer. He's going to
just a run stuffer. Yeah. Just going to really get to the quarterback.
Yeah. All right. So you need that. Now we talked about the defense. Now let's like kind of go to the offense, right?
Yeah.
So
how's Goff?
Goff is up and down. Like, so the thing is, what I read about him today is he's taking a lot of short passes. He's not really throwing it deep. And some days he's looking crispy. Some days he's a little off. Today wasn't his best day. But I'm not really a fan when a quarterback doesn't throw it deep. We're still early in training camp, but that's just not like. I don't know. I don't like that. I want my quarterback to be.
You know,
I mean, it's real early in training.
Yeah,
camp.
It's still early.
I'm looking at this with like a grain of salt. I mean, we've seen training camps where, you know, in the past where they said, "Oh, Stafford's on fire, throwing the ball over the field." You know, offense looking amazing, and then when we get into the games, you're like, "What? Where is it? What happened?" You know. So I mean, I look at it with a grain of salt. I mean, it's only day three. Training camp. So, I mean, maybe they didn't ask him of him to throw the ball deep. And from his presser, he said he wants to throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
And they're going to be scheming plays to go deep every single game. May not be every play, but they're going to do it every single game. So I'm not worried about it. From what I saw, what I heard from the reports is that he, you know, he's been a leader. He's been good. And, you know, they said that, you know, he has his days where he looks sharp. So, and again, it's only day three. You take it with a grain of salt. I just can't wait to see him in the swing of things as well. I think he's going to play a lot better than people are expecting as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would say all of training camp. We've mentioned it every year. I didn't mention it this episode, which is not my fault. But you got to take training camp with a grain of salt and even just the preseason in general with a grain of salt. That's just how it is. It's just a drill. But it's fun, you know. It's fun to get excited about some of these guys and just see if, you know, they make a play. It's like, hey, like, let's see what he could do now. You know, this is the best time where you're overly optimistic about your team because you're going to see so many good plays and stuff like that.
We got a question about how the O-line looks. They're not in pads yet, so we don't really know, but there is something that came up today. Vitae lost weight, and he's moving a lot better.
Also, I don't know if you saw this as well. Terrell Crosby and Matt Nelson, who are, you know, mainly known as tackles, they've been playing some guard. on Chris Berg.
Cross training gun, yep.
Yeah, Matt Nelson's been working on the left side, and Terrell Crosby's been taking reps at the right side on offensive guard. And then also another guy to mention, what is this?
Talking about the rookie?
Yeah, Drake Jackson.
Drake Jackson, yep.
Yeah, so he's apparently looks solid. He was the undrafted kid from, I believe, Duke? When I'm missing, Duke or Kentucky? I know it's one of the blue schools. My fault. It's one of the basketball schools. And I guess he's been impressive. He's a center. So,
yeah, he's a center.
I mean, the Lions don't really have much at center behind Frank Ragnow, because if you guys remember, Joe Dahl was usually the guy to step in if there was ever an injury, and he's obviously not on the team right now. So
it's Kentucky.
Kentucky, that's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting, you know, if they carry another center or if they're going to try to groom one of these guys, and like a Stenberg who took a couple snaps at center last year. I don't know if he's taken any snaps at center this year. So
he did take a couple the other day, and he didn't really look good. So they're
I know he didn't look good
guard.
Last year. I know he didn't
look good. Yeah, he's playing exclusively guard right now.
Yeah.
I was going to ask that because I haven't heard much about Stenberg in these 3 days. I haven't seen much about him. Is this a concern?
Well, mostly with defensive line and offensive linemen. We'll start hearing more about them on Monday when the Pats.
Well, Malcolm, you know what they say. If there's no news, it's probably good news.
That's true. Yeah. That is true.
So
That is definitely true.
Because it's usually you're either going to be really impressive or
–
usually on the offensive line, it's going to be you're not going to have any news or you're going to be terrible. That's how it goes, unfortunately, right?
Yeah. Either your ass or – you make the highlights.
So no news is good news. I'll take it with that.
No news is good news. That's good. That's right. I wasn't thinking about that. There's a lot of guys who haven't got brought up, so I guess there is no reason to be concerned. If they haven't been mentioned yet.
Yeah. So, but it's going to be interesting because I think they're going to need one of these guys, you know, whoever makes the final 53-man roster, they're going to need some center versatility just like in case a Ragnow does go down, because what is plan B at that point? Because it was Joe Dahl. Now that Joe Dahl's on this team, I don't know what plan B would be with this team. Does Drake Jackson make the team?
Drake.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's going to be an interesting battle to keep up with. You know, could he win a spot? I mean, obviously, it would have a lot to do with this very good offensive line group. There's a lot of versatile guys like Crosby, Nelson, Stenberg. So we'll see, man. It's going to be an interesting battle. I think the offensive line depth is the best depth on this team right now. So it's definitely the hardest position, in my opinion, to make on this team, on this Detroit Lions team.
Yeah. Now, let's get into the running back. So obviously, they have Geandre Swift, Jamal Williams, Jamar Jefferson. Then they switch safety. God, I don't know if I'm saying his name right. I want to say Iguakwe. I can't say his name, but they switched him to running back.
He was a safety?
Yeah, he was a safety.
They switched him to running back, so they got four running backs. They also got Jason Kabinda, the fullback, right now. Kabinda actually got a lot of work today receiving the ball. And if you remember, Anthony Lynn and Sean Payton, obviously, with the Saints, so Campbell comes from there. They both carried fullbacks on their roster.
Yeah.
So that's another position to watch. Will they keep three tight ends? Will they keep two tight ends and a fullback? Will they keep three and a fullback? So that's something to keep a close eye on as well.
All right, trick question. Who are the two fullbacks on both those teams starting?
Which teams?
Saints and Chargers.
The Saints? It was the guy who was with us. I forgot his name.
Michael Burton. I don't know who the Chargers one is. I was gonna say Derek Watt, but he's not there anymore. He's on the Steelers.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I don't
Chargers,
know.
I believe
Is there a reason why you're asking us about fullbacks?
Yeah, bro. Like, I don't know.
I just want to see you guys' knowledge.
Trivia. Pop quiz, Tyler.
I just want to see your knowledge.
God damn. Well, Tyler, right. I got a pop quiz for you. Who's the long snapper for the damn Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Stop.
Asked about goddamn fullbacks.
And what? If he gets on the Lions, I'll know his name.
All right, so we do have a question in the chat from Kevin. It says, are you confident in the wide receivers?
Ooh, can I answer?
Go ahead. Let's start off.
I mean, shit. I actually am. I have a lot of confidence in this wide receiving group because I think we're going to have a breakout. We're going to have a breakout receiver this year. Quote me right. Everybody's – I mean, you can't Snapchat. You can't screenshot. Just
– screen record.
We're going to have a breakout start. We're going to have a breakout receiver. I guarantee it. We're going to have at least 1,000-yard receiver.
Oh, that's bold.
I'm saying it. We're going to have at least 1,000-yard receiver.
That's bold. Because I'd say if you go as far as saying we're going to have a breakout guy, I'll agree with that, because when you don't have a great room, someone's going to have to produce.
Yeah,
but 1,000 yards is bold.
Yeah, nobody's giving those guys a shot. Everybody's looking at the wide receiver group like that's the biggest hole.
I'm going to be honest.
I think they're going to put a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah, regarding the wide receivers, Tyrell Williams has had injury issues. I don't know if he could stay healthy for 16 games. Same with Bashard Perriman. After that, you got Amon-Ra St. Brown, who's probably going to be the slot receiver. You have Cephas, who still hasn't proven much. You have Caleb Raymond, Damian Rowley, Victor Bolden. I think this is probably one of the worst or the worst wide receiver rooms in the NFL. I am not confident in the wide receivers at all.
I mean, this is what I want everybody to do. I want everybody to look at, I think it was a 2017 Rams receiving roster. When they drafted what's that slot corner?
Cooper Kupp.
They had a lot of question marks that year too. I mean, Robert Woods came from the Buffalo Bills. He came from the Bills.
Yeah.
And he wasn't who he was when he got to the Rams.
No, but he was good with the Bills though. Like
he was an 800 yard receiver. He was an 800 yard receiver. He wasn't the same guy he was when he was with the Rams. I mean, they had a lot of question marks as well. And
I mean, I would say Robert Woods was like Marvin Jones at the time. Like, you knew he had potential when he was in Cincinnati.
He was good.
But there was just, he kind of had a better scene in L.A. And I think that's what happened with Marvin when he went to Cincinnati to Detroit.
Yeah, that's true. And also, I think Stafford also was a big factor in Marvin Jones as well.
For sure.
But I think one of these guys could break out, man. Like, who knows? Maybe Perriman. I mean, he had a phenomenal year when he was with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He did have a down year.
I'd say like good year.
He had a good game versus the Lions.
He was an 800 yard receiver with Tampa Bay Buccaneers with a limited role. Remember, he didn't come in until what's his name got hurt. Evans.
I mean, he was a third guy with Winston basically that year. It was
exactly.
Godwin, Evans, and he was the slot.
Yeah, and then when what's his name got hurt, he started getting more targets, and that's when he became. That's when he had his 800 yard season with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and he got a big payday to go to the Jets, and it didn't work out. I mean, shit. I mean, how many wide receivers worked out with the Jets? Think about it.
I think when you look at the Lions, though, I think their main receivers are probably going to be T.J. Hockenson and DeAndre Swift out of the backfield. Like, probably...
I think they're going to lean on that. I'm thinking
because Dan Campbell said he envisioned Swift to be like Kamara. When you look at Kamara, he was a dynamic receiver out of the backfield. He's a good runner, but he's a better receiver.
I think we have so many guys, too, that it's going to just be a spread-out offense as well. Like, I don't see one guy just dealing the show away, unless it's a T.J. Hockenson or a Swift. But, like, I just don't see a Tyrell Williams, like, just bursting out to the scenes where, like, people are like, damn, what a contract the Lions gave Tyrell Williams this year. I feel like he just lives up to the expectation that he was expected to. Perriman, same thing, you know?
I think one of these guys, and it could be even be the rookie. Who knows?
I think
one of these guys is going to be a 1,000-yard receiver.
I think it would be Amon-Ra St. Brown if anyone were to break out, or it would be a Cephas. It would have to be one of the young guys. I just don't see it.
Can I bet on that? Do you have bets on that? Like one of those like prop bets?
If Tyrell Williams would have a 1,000-yard season?
Not Tyrell Williams. I mean, so many goddamn Lions. Goddamn.
Have a 1,000-yard season?
Yeah,
they have a bet for everything.
They have a bet for like the color of the goddamn helmets.
So, okay. So you said there's going to be a 1,000-yard receiver. I know you 100%. Said you. Who will it be for you to guess? I know.
If I had to guess,
just give me a guess.
If I had to guess, I'd say Amon-Ra St. Brown. I think that guy's a stud.
And
I think it'll be Amon-Ra St. Brown. I honestly think it's going to be him.
It's not a receiver, but it's a tight end.
Breakout rookie season.
If there was 1,000, I had to put like money on it, 1,000-yard receiver, I'd say it'd be T.J. Hockenson. I know he's not a receiver, but
I think he leads the team
in receiving yards.
My two cents, I would save your money.
I wouldn't bet on that. Yeah, if I had to bet on a guy, it would be T.J. Hockenson.
I don't even know, man. I don't know who I'd bet on. I'd probably go Hockenson as well, but I'm not confident in that at all, though.
Yeah.
You're not confident at all for a 1,000-yard receiver?
Not this year.
I am. And then I want everybody at the end of the year to be like, damn, Malcolm called that shit. We had a 1,000-yard receiver. Remember this shit.
I hope we come back to this day and we're like, damn.
damn, Malcolm called this shit. Like, nobody's seen that. Nobody's seen this guy coming. This guy break out for 1,000 yards.
So, speaking of receivers, I'm just looking through Chris Brooks' training camp observations from today.
Station Rock.
Yep, Station Rock. I want to get into him really quickly.
Yeah.
Just read quote for quote what Brooks said. Might have had his best day since the Lions signed him. He made a couple catches in really tight windows. Also ran a slant in 11-11 drills. Added wrinkle, he was a third up back slash personnel protector on the punt team behind C.J. Moore and Jalen Elliott. So that's another guy. Yeah, having some versatility with Sage Surratt as well. He was one of those guys that before the draft, like, or before the college football season, people were hyping this guy as, I swear, as like a day two pick. This was like a second, third round pick potentially. And I even said at one point, I think this guy could be a baby Kenny Galladay. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think his, you know, I think he's got something to work with though. I mean, I seen what he could do at Wake Forest the year before. This year was a weird year with COVID. I think he's got some potential, man. He wouldn't completely shock me if he made the team. I was pretty pumped when they got him as a UDFA, man. I mean, I thought it was a very good, you know, deal for the Lions, just a good shot because he has a ton of potential.
I was flabbergasted that he even got drafted.
Yeah.
If I had to guess right now.
Didn't he have like a third round grade or something?
And before the season. Before the season.
Before the season. Not like, yeah, no, during the season, it was more like.
No, he fell.
Day three, undrafted were his grades. They weren't,
No, but before the season, he was, I think I put him in the day two conversation. Obviously, before, like when you're doing the rankings now, let's say, because it was like around this time last year. When you do the rankings around this time, it's just, it's everywhere, man.
Well, what happened? Did he have like a bad year or something?
It was a COVID year, Wake Forest. I don't even remember. Yeah, he's never been a good separator. He's just one of those possession guys, not really fast. That's just Sage Surratt's game.
Yeah.
And then obviously the possession receiver is just not as big in the NFL as it was now. Just looking at Nikhil Harry, man. Like, you know, his value is basically just gone. And I feel like possession receivers are,
Let me ask you a question. Did he ever get signed?
Who? Harry's still on the Patriots.
He never got traded. I know you requested for a trade.
Not get traded yet. No.
He's still a Patriot.
I think Surratt right now is probably a practice squad guy, if I had to guess.
Think so?
That'd be fine. That'd be fine.
Kind of like just stash him on there and try to like develop.
I think he could be one of those guys if you could hold him on the P squad. I feel like he could be one of those guys that could get a promotion if there's an injury or something like that. I feel like he could be the next guy up.
For some reason, I don't think that like he will survive it. Like
I feel like we say this every year about a player. Yeah. I feel like we just overvalue these guys sometimes.
Yeah, we do. I'm actually
running back
higher,
that we had last year.
I'm higher on Devon McKinley out of Notre Dame.
Not Thompson, the guy we drafted.
Oh, Hundley. Jason Hundley.
Yeah, Hundley. As soon as he got cut, he got snatched.
Well, yeah, it was a fifth pick.
We had a feeling that was going to happen.
It was a fifth round pick.
But the other guys that got like released, we weren't really like, I don't know.
I got to see how he plays in preseason.
I want to see my boy Javon McKinley. I was excited when they picked him up.
Notre Dame kid?
I want to see him. I know he was hurt, but he's back now. I want to see how he looks. I'm going to be watching him next week at training camp if it's open to the public. We'll go watch him.
McKinley would be interesting. I mean, I think like a lot of these guys have an opportunity. You know, if you're not even an undrafted guy this year, a lot of the young guys in general that just haven't done much in the league, like Bolden, Tom Kennedy, like, you're getting a legitimate opportunity to make the team this year. So, you know, just could you take advantage of it? I mean, this is one of the more open rosters in the NFL, and this is probably the more open Lions teams that we've seen, like, as far as competition, where, like, there's not many locks on this team. Like, there's a couple, but there's not many locks.
There's a lot of this whole roster. That's what you're saying.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, I mean, if there's any opportunity to seize, it's the Lions. And I think if you hear from the undrafted free agents, I don't know if you guys remember this, after the draft, a lot of the guys were, you know, prioritizing the Lions over other teams because they know they have a better opportunity making the 53-man roster. Like, I think Surratt was one of those guys. He saw the Lions call. He goes, hey, you know, I got a legitimate opportunity to maybe make this 53-man roster. Yeah. So, the UDFA class, I think, was one of the better UDFA classes in the NFL. So, I mean, it's going to be something to keep an eye out for. Maybe the Lions could keep a couple of these guys on their 53. So,
I believe they released one of the receivers they signed. Wasn't it Jonathan Adams, I believe?
Yeah, Adams is the guy they released.
I don't think he's on the team anymore. Yeah, they gave him all like a lot of guaranteed money, so I guess he just didn't work.
They signed, what's his name? It said Henson from the Texans and replaced
him. Yep, Chad Henson. Yep, he went to his Jared Goff.
There's so much competition in his wide receiving room, man. So many competition, man.
And even kick returner, which could be one of the receivers as well. So if you could show versatility to play both kick returner and punt returner and be a receiver on this team, you know, maybe the staff will.
That's Caleb Freeman right now. That's Caleb Freeman. Yeah.
I think him and Bolden.
Yeah. I mean, that's a guy who, even from before, as soon as we signed him, I was like, yeah, that's going to be the guy. Yeah. I kind of seen that coming. Look, Jermall Allison. I mean, I know he took the COVID year off. He's back. Do you see him making his roster?
Who is it? Honest? No.
Jermall Allison.
Oh, Geronimo Allison. I forgot he was on this team, honestly. I forgot all about him.
I mean, shit, everybody forgot he was on this team, but he's here. I mean, he's there. Does he make this roster?
Like, if I had to guess for now, I'd say no.
I would say no too. I think the versatility is going to be key. The versatility is going to be key. I feel like if you could play on special teams and be a receiver, I feel like they're going to prioritize it more. We'll see.
During preseason how these guys look too.
Yeah, maybe Gmo is a big
too,
game.
Man. I can't wait for preseason. Tom Kennedy, I'm interested in seeing. This is a guy who always been on the team, and he just stays. You know, they could never get rid of this guy, Tom Kennedy. And even in camp, like, he makes big plays. Like, I saw that he made a big night. He made some nice catches, Tom Kennedy.
TK is reminding me of like a couple years ago, Jace Billingsley.
You think so? Yeah, he does.
He's just giving me that vibe.
I get Wes Welker vibes, even though it's like very high expectations.
I remember I was like, when I met Golden Tate, and there was like this little white dude next to him.
Billingsley,
like,
man.
It was really small. He's like, Tate was like, hey, that's Jace. I was like, he was so small, bro. I was like, what's up, Jace?
Man,
that was funny. That was hilarious when I saw Jace. I was like,
what is up? Is Golden Tate your best friend, Pierre?
Yeah, look at this shit. He got access from Golden
Tate. No, it was that same night when I talked about it on here. It was that same night.
Oh, the same night?
Yeah, it was the same night. Yeah.
He didn't call you this time.
I was going to say.
There was also, who was that kicker like they had? The kicker with Prater?
Santoso?
He was also there too, yeah.
I have a selfie with Jace Billingsley. He was a very cool guy when I met him.
Yeah, Billingsley was kind of cool. He was funny.
I enjoyed Jace, man. He was a super nice guy.
he was funny when I met him. He was pretty cool.
I would post that picture, but that's before I had facial hair, and I'm okay.
Doesn't he hate the old staff, too?
Yeah, he made a whole song about them. Or he didn't put their names in it, but he had a music video.
He hates those guys.
And he put Rod Wood, and I think he put like a clown face on Bob Quinn's face, or like clown eyes or something like that.
Yeah, he hates those guys.
Jace Billingsley, man, what a guy. Man, you know who didn't like the staff either? And it just kind of shocked me. Not Davis. Zach Zenner, man. Zach Zenner just seems like such a wholesome guy.
He didn't like the staff cool either?
But he didn't
anybody
like
that
staff.
Actually liked
Let's be honest. Who the hell liked the staff?
I'm trying to figure out. Is there a player who liked the staff? Who was like, oh, they're all right.
I don't know. But if you were to think anyone were to be like that, oh, this staff's all right. You think it would be like Zach Zenner, right?
I don't think it would be like Trey Flowers or somebody. But even Trey Flowers was like, you know what? This staff is better, you know?
Yeah, I don't know.
Everybody seems happy. Everybody get to do what they want to do.
I feel like Zach Zenner's just one of those guys where, you know, he's just, you know, let's get bloody. Let's get aggressive, man. I feel like Zach Zenner would love Dan Campbell, actually. I feel like that's like, they would be perfect fit for each other.
You know, one thing I love about this team is they're allowing players to show their personality. Like, yes. Jamal Williams is like, his energy is awesome. Today he had two reporters playing rock, paper, scissors to see who would ask the question because they had the same question. That's hilarious.
Eric
Woodyard and the other guy was Corey Woods at Woodward Sports.
If we could find a way to reel him into this podcast so I could do like a guest episode, that would be epic.
I'll reach out to his reps.
I know he would have us very entertained. This man said that he doesn't wear Gucci or Prada. He shops at Ross.
He didn't. Oh, hold on. Going back to basketball.
He said he doesn't mess with any of that. He said he doesn't wear Gucci, doesn't wear Prada, doesn't wear that stuff. He said, man, I shop at Ross.
Yeah, going back to
I was like, whoa.
It was because someone asked him, he goes, what's your thoughts on Cade Cunningham wearing the Buffs? And he goes, what the hell are Buffs? He had no idea what the hell was going on. Malcolm, wait, so you're not from Michigan. You got no Buffs.
Of course, right? Bro, I want to buy a pair of Buffs. That's
Cartier
our price.
Buffs?
I was like, all right. Huh?
You want some Cartier Buffs?
I want some. Hell yeah, I want some. Maybe I could put this on my Christmas list. I could put this on my Christmas list, and maybe you and Pierre could
start saving up. Start saving up.
Wait, I'm talking about Christmas, man. You got. Let's go half.
Oh, yeah, I'll get you the dollar store version. I got you. I'll get you the dollar store version.
The dollar store version, bro. Keep it.
tell Pierre's boy Golden Tate to hook you up.
Yo,
he's got some NFL money.
That was funny. He was like, I don't watch TV. I don't know what that is. I watch anime.
I know. He had no idea the NBA draft was going on. And we were just selected the number one pick.
Yeah. All right. So we have like about 10 minutes or so. If anyone wants to ask any questions in the chat or want to come up and speak, ask questions, you can come up right now. If not, I think we'll end
this. This is your time. Yeah. This is your time.
Real quickly, too, I want to go into the Steph as well. We were saying about how it's been more fun and stuff. We even see a more fun side on the social media side of the side now. Like, you know, the Lions, I feel like, are setting up this like camera now right by like the Lions like tunnel where they exit out to enter the practice field. And you're seeing all these questions now, like just like generic, funny, basic question, like easy, debatable questions, like do pineapples not belong on pizza? Like, we're seeing that all over now. Mm-hmm. I think it's been
Patricia
a lot of
would
fun
never.
Now. No, we
Patricia
would
never.
We would have never seen that in the Patriot way. Could you imagine?
Never.
Could you imagine the Lions social media team asking Matt Patricia, do pineapples belong on pizza?
Yeah, that man would say everything goes on pizza. God
Okay.
And that is a wrap to part one of our bonus content, where we talk about the Lions training camp and some guys who shined in the first 3 days of training camp. Tune in to part two, where we have our listeners come on the stage and ask some Lions questions. All on part two of our bonus episode. Tune in for that. Coming out soon.